Yesterday, police arrested 16 people in North Dakota who were protesting the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. On Sunday night, police used tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse protesters and water cannon them despite the freezing cold weather. Nearly 20 were taken to the hospital early Monday. Members of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe have had an awakening. They say the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline will endanger their waterways and destroy historical burial grounds. They may not win in the end. The pipeline company has expressed hope that under President Trump, they will go forward. But meanwhile, there's another awakening, another preservation effort going on. Chef Sean Sherman, or the Sioux Chef, S-I-O-U-X, grew up on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, and he's trying to preserve traditional Native American cuisine and bring it to the world. He's a member of the Oglala Lakota Sioux. He joins us from Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul. Sean, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
How did this start for you? Talk about growing up on the Pine Ridge Reservation, one of the largest and one of the most impoverished, not really eating the food of your forefathers.
Right. You know, lots of wide open spaces, lots of plains. We kind of bordered the Badlands in South Dakota. And, you know, we grew up kind of running around, playing outdoors a lot. We didn't really have restaurants. We had one grocery store in the town of Pine Ridge itself. So we'd spent a lot of time hunting and kind of running around, being free. We were probably a little feral.
Well, thankfully, foraging for berries and things like that. And I say thankfully because there was such poverty, so little industry, that there was a lot of government food.
Yep, lots of the government cheese and canned salmon and canned beef and, you know, canned generic everything, basically.
Spam.
Right,
Spam.
Right. You know, later in life when I kind of had the epiphany of focusing on my own culture and heritage as a chef, I really did have to dig backwards and try to figure out what that meant because there was a lot of missing information as to what really was Native American food. And we had bits and pieces of it growing up, but I knew there was a lot more to it. So we did have the choke cherries and we did have things like the wild timsala, which is a prairie turnip. And, you know, there's lots of wild onion and, you know, there was a lot of flavors out there in the wild game. But I just knew that there was so much more to it.
Well, in fact, to understand, there are certain foods you will not eat now because it was part of the government food that you had?
Well, you know, for the work that we're doing and focusing on pre-reservation, pre-European foods for North America, we've cut out ingredients that weren't here before. So we've cut out wheat flour and dairy and processed sugar, even beef, pork, and chicken.
And so, what are you cooking?
Well, you know, proteins are easy because we have all of this wild game. So we use a lot of venison and rabbit and bison, turkey and quail, lots of the freshwater fish around us, so lots of walleye and trout, northerns, whitefish, things like that. And then the bigger piece for us was really getting an education on the plant life. So the ethnobotany and the agricultural scene that was happening. So looking at all the heirloom indigenous seed varieties that people were growing and also plants that people were collecting and using all of those flavors on the plates that we're creating.
And when you say people, you've been called the second generation of Native American trying to find these foods.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great work out there. I've learned a lot from some of the ethnobotanists out there, a lot from the elders who still know and practice a lot of these pieces in the different reservations.
So this all culminates in things like the Indian taco.
Well, for our food truck here in Minneapolis called Tatanka Truck, we did a take on Indian tacos, which was typically fry bread with kind of Tex-Mex flavored meat and beans and lettuce and sour cream called an indigenous taco.
It's what the more modern Native American came up with using things like wheat flour that they wouldn't have used 150 years ago.
Right. You know, fry bread, it doesn't take too long to figure out where that starts from. Really, it's just, you know, what the government was giving Native American people to survive off after they started moving around to reservations. So staples like flour and lard and sugar and salt, there's not a lot you can do with that, especially if you don't have any ovens, but make a simple fried dough. And hence, that's where fry bread comes from.
So a nod to the more modern indigenous taco, but you also do a more indigenous taco.
We just wanted to do something that was more health-based, so we did a corn base instead of a fry bread, where we basically just grill a corn cake, almost like a grilled polenta, and then we top it with whatever. We have rabbit, we have bison, we have turkey, we have beans and squash. Since we're not using any dairy in anything, everything's pretty much plant-based if it doesn't have the meat particularly on it. And we use a lot of wild flavor, so we gather a lot of wild herbs during the summertime. And we top it off with wojapi, which is just the berry sauce.
Things like toasted sunflower, pumpkin, squash seeds, that's a part of it.
Yeah, we like to top off with a little bit of the seeds and nuts for a little bit of texture, too.
Yeah. Wojapi, what is that?
So growing up on Pine Ridge, we had a sauce called wojapi, which was traditionally chokecherry. So we would collect the chokecherries in the late summer. And then I can remember my grandmother making, you know, huge pots of it on the stove. And that was pretty typical for a lot of Lakota families. But wojapi really, in the simplest form, is just a berry sauce. So you can use pretty much any berry you want to.
And you cook it down.
Yeah, we just cook it down, and you know, we don't bother thickening it. I've seen a lot of modern recipes where they add sugar or cornstarch, but we just kind of let it go down until it gets thickened on its own.
Put it on tacos, put it on ice cream.
It's good on everything.
Yeah. What does it do for you? We were just visiting with the Chickasaw in Oklahoma for a story about saving an endangered language, and we were lucky enough to have a meal there. And I am in love now with wild grape dumplings. They were just so good. And yet, in this case, it wasn't the season for the, you know, those wild grapes that you can find out in the woods. So they were using Welch's, but that's okay.
Sure.
But what's it like to bite into something and know that that's actually, you know, your food? Maybe I'm reaching here, but can you feel something when you bite into something that you know your ancestors might have eaten?
Yeah, and we see it all the time because we go to a lot of these tribal communities and we'll do these foods that are just very simple, the indigenous foods of that region. And it's fun to watch people's faces and see all of these memories get pulled out and this kind of ancestral memory coming out of the food and just, you know, really affecting people in such a positive way. And you can feel it. It's just, you know, good, clean, and great energy food.
Well, and there's another purpose here. We talk about the history of the reservations when you say they were given the government-issued food when they had to move. Well, these were forced marches. And it just seems as if many of the Native peoples have not recovered. There's a huge incidence of, well, alcoholism, diabetes, heart disease. Is part of this about eating better?
Yes, because the indigenous diet just happens to be such a healthy diet. You know, it's low glycemic, it's high in vegetation, it's low salt, it's good fats, lots of seeds and nuts, lots of really healthy proteins. So it's great that the indigenous diet itself was so healthy because, you know, before European influence, there was very little things like the type 2 diabetes and obesity and heart disease and hypertension and even tooth decay. So by bringing back a lot of these traditional flavors and getting people with the mindset of wanting to have these traditional foods more often on their tables, we can really directly take on a lot of those foodborne illnesses just through traditional food.
Where do you see this going for you? You've got this successful Tatanka truck, the food truck, and your catering company, the Sioux Chef, S-I-O-U-X. Mm-hmm. You also want to build a brick-and-mortar restaurant, maybe put out a cookbook. Maybe there's the TV show down the road. I mean, do you see Americans finally turning back to their real Native American food?
Well, I think that the food that we're doing and really getting people to open up and understand and respect the indigenous background of this country, it really helps re-identify what American food is. You know, instead of just being hamburger and Coca-Cola for the United States or poutine for Canada, it's really more regionally specific. You know, if there were Native American restaurants that were culturally and regionally appropriate all over the United States and Canada, people would really see that huge diversity of all these awesome food and flavors and culture that we have. And you don't have to be from indigenous background to appreciate and respect those pieces that are just part of our landscape.
Meantime, what will you be eating Thanksgiving?
Well, we like to eat, you know, just extremely local. You know, Thanksgiving really is a harvest dinner, and we just like to appreciate the foods that we grew that year and a lot of the flavors that we collected and just spend, you know, that time with friends and family.
Well, there you are in Minnesota now. I'm betting there will be some local wild rice on your Thanksgiving table.
Definitely. We use tons of the hand-harvested wild rice from the Native tribes around here. We use a lot of maple. We work with a couple of Native farms around the area, so we like to use a lot of produce from them and just a lot of the game that grows naturally around here.
Yeah. Sean Sherman, the Sioux Chef. Sean, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And I'm looking at his recipe for maple glazed roasted acorn squash with toasted pepitas. Those are pumpkin seeds. Also, cedar maple tea. You can soak your cedar, and make tea. Looks delicious. It's here now.